Welcome to today's episode of The Demartini Show. This is the podcast for visionaries. You're in for another brilliant session with Dr. John Demartini. For those of you who don't know Dr. John Demartini, he is a human behavior specialist, and he has spent over 47 years researching everything he could find in order to understand what drives human behavior and performance, and the most efficient and effective ways to empower and inspire lives. If you're driven to make a difference and you love making progress in all the seven areas of your life, then you're in the right place right now. With the current social distancing and extended impact of the coronavirus pandemic, many people are finding that they're struggling with their emotions. So if you're finding that you're less adaptable than normal, more irritable, maybe even depressed or possibly even suicidal, then please take the time to listen to this really valuable session. This presentation addresses emotions and what you can do to gain governance of your feelings so that you're buoyant and less volatile during a seemingly stressful time. Get ready for a powerful presentation. Make sure you have a pen and paper ready because you're going to want to take loads of notes. Enjoy.
Dr. Demartini, many people right now are really struggling with their emotions. Some people feel that they've lost their businesses or their livelihoods has been threatened, or they just feel overwhelmed with all the challenges and change that they are experiencing currently. They are feeling depressed or angry. What is your advice to these people right now that's having emotional challenges?
I'd like to mention that depression is a comparison of your current reality to an unrealistic expectation or fantasy or delusion about how it's supposed to be. So often we are comparing what's going on right now to the way it used to be, or the way we want it to be, fantasize it to be. And whenever there's a conflict between what it used to be or the fantasy that we have and what's real, we tend to distort our reactions to it and accentuate in our subcortical areas of our brain what's going on. And we tend to emphasize and dramatize the fantasy with more pleasures and the challenge with more pains, and accentuate this and lead to more depression and anxiety. So the first thing is to stop and do as an objective an assessment as you possibly can about what's actually happening. Because sometimes we have an expectation, well, I want it the way it used to be, or I want it the way I fantasize. And we're not actually grounded right now with what's actually happening. And stopping right there and looking, okay, what is the real scenario I'm in right now? And then the next question, once you get grounded in that and not compare it to something, because if you compare it to something it's not, you're going to be frustrated with what is. And then once you're there, you ask yourself right now, what is a realistic, objective goal that is obtainable right now that matches what I value, matches what I'm intending, and then has a real, true strategy to get it? When we're in our amygdala, we distort things. We impulsively react. We instinctively fear. And we don't go anywhere. We just have reaction. And we dramatize and want to tell people how bad things are and run our story and become victim of history instead of master of destiny. But if we stop and get really clear, what exactly is the current situation and what exactly do I want, and then go into our forebrain, use this time that we have to plan a real strategy. The purpose of the executive center in the brain is to transform fantasies into real objectives. And real objectives, objectivity means even-minded. That means you're anticipating the challenges you face and you're mitigating the responses. You have three responses to something that challenges you. You have the fight response, which is tackle it, challenge it, take it on. You have the flight response to do what you can to avoid it. You have the freeze response to completely shut down. The wisest one is to actually think of how whatever the challenge is can be used to accomplish what you know you want. And then ask, how is this on the way, not in the way? Because if you're running a story about how it's in the way and dramatizing that, you're not going to go anywhere. But if you're asking, how specifically is my current real situation, not my exaggerated one, helping me get what I want? And then sit down on a piece of paper or computer, whatever, and don't stop until you write down enough benefits of what's happening in that moment to actually clear the amygdala and the lower cortical areas from function and get up in the executive center where you can see opportunity and see responses and create a plan of how this challenge is used to accomplish what you want. If you're setting up a fantasy, it's unobtainable. There's two types of fantasies, really. One is something that has all positive, no negative in it. That's delusional. That's childish. It's sold to the masses as an opium. There is no such thing. You're automatically, the second you set up a fantasy, you're going to add fear into your dynamic. And so the fear that you're having that's immobilizing you is actually making sure you're not pursuing delusions and unrealistic expectations and fantasies. It's making sure that you set a real objective that has both sides, because that's where you're most resilient and adaptable. The second one is setting some goal that's not truly most important to you and just temporarily reacting to a situation instead of actually thinking through long-term, what is it you really, really want to accomplish? When you set a real objective that's aligned with your real highest value, that's really important to you, you won't give up on it, you'll persevere, and you'll see things on the way, not in the way. But if you sit down and ask, what is the benefit of this challenge, and stack it up and don't stop. Don't say, I don't know. Don't say, I can't find it. Don't say it's not a one. That bullshit. There is no such thing on this planet that doesn't have upsides. It doesn't exist. All the moralists and all the hypocrisists that are basically going around and making things black and white and all or none are immobilizing themselves and making them non-resilient because they're going to fear the loss of that which they fantasize about. They're going to fear the gain of that which they resent and what they would have a nightmare about. But if they get objective, where they have balanced perspective, they have more resiliency. When you have a balanced mind, you don't fear the loss of it, you don't fear the gain of it, you're neutral. And it's that neutral state that allows you to have the resiliency and the creativity to see how this challenge is an opportunity. So I have this every weekend in the breakthrough experience. I have people that want to come in and they want to run their story, and I stop them in their story and they think I don't have compassion, because they're just dramatizing and myelinating their primitive part of their brain and accentuating the delusion and story they get so they can get sympathy and empathy or whatever they want. And they got a hidden agenda to sidetrack and derail the primary objective of getting your life together. And they want to run their story. Stop the friggin' story. Get clear about what the objective is. Ask how specifically what's happening right now that's real, not delusional, is getting you there, and you'll come up with solutions. And every weekend I have people accountable and I hold them accountable and I ask them again, what's another benefit? How else is it helping you? And then all of a sudden they get over the hump and they start looking, how does it help you spiritually? How does it help you intellectually? How does it help you in your career? How does it help you finances? How does it help you in your family? How does it help you in your social life? How does it help you in your health? And if you just keep answering that, this challenge will no longer be perceived as a challenge. You won't be depressed because you won't have an unrealistic expectation and fantasy you're comparing your life to. You'll be seeing things on the way, not in the way, and it will calm down. The executive center of the brain, the forebrain, is designed to transform fantasies into true objectives. And we get addicted to our fantasies about how it should have been and how you wish it would be, how it ought to be, how it's supposed to be, how you had it used to be, instead of the friggin' truth of what it is right now. So get grounded. Find out how it's getting you what you want, get clear about what you want, and make sure what you want is of service to people if you want to get out of the financial crazies. Because if you're not doing something that serves somebody, and believe it or not, right now, no matter what's going on, there's somebody that needs a service. There's somebody that needs a product. And if you're not anywhere near that, you're going to end up no money. So that's forcing you to adapt and create something. I just got an email this morning of somebody in Bali that had a business. They temporarily shifted the business to a new product service that they saw the need of, and it's going gangbusters. They modified it and they adapted. People who adapt, see, stress is the inability to adapt to a changing environment. And when there's a drastic change, which this definitely is, then you gotta be more adaptable. And you won't be adaptable if you're rigid and you're holding onto a fantasy and you're focusing on the nightmare. It's only going to be adaptable when you actually go back, balance that equation, get neutral, become resilient, let the forebrain come up with creative solutions and ask, how is this on the way and how can I use this to my greatest advantage? Then ask yourself a very simple question. What is the highest priority action I can do right now, once my mind is now balanced, highest priority action right this minute that I can do that's real, that will allow me to move one step closer to this objective? And when you achieve that, and make sure it's not long projects, it's a daily action, that day, one action, that day. What is the highest priority action I can do right this minute that can get me one step closer to this objective and to reduce the challenges supposedly that I'm facing? Then when you finish that, what is now the highest priority action? As long as you stay on the highest priority action towards a real objective, you're doing as much as any human being can do. And that's the best thing I can tell you, to stick to priority on true objectives, ground yourself on what's real, find out how what's happening is on the way, quit comparing it to delusions and the way it should be or wish it be or how it would, because those are fantasies. The reason we have fear is because of addiction to fantasies. I've been doing this for 47 plus years, and I'm absolutely certain that people live with fantasies. The positive thinking movement has fucked people up because it's made them think that everything's supposed to be rose-tinted glasses and positive all the time. And they're not resilient, they're not adaptable, they're not creative. It's the challenge in your life that causes innovation. It's the challenge in your life that wakes up genius. It's the challenge in life that comes up with innovation, creative ideas, and original thinking. And you're not going to get it by support and having everything all one-sided. You need both. It's time to ground yourself. This is the best thing that could happen to us, to make us face reality and then get in touch with how life really works. And there's going to be two sides. When you have love for somebody, you're going to have things you like and things you dislike. There's going to be support and there's going to be challenge. They're going to be nice and mean and kind and cruel and positive and negative and peaceful and wrathful. There's not going to be a one-sided person. And if you're sitting on a goal or a fantasy of one-sidedness and it's not truly aligned with what you value most, you're not going to prepare for real world. You're setting up a fantasy and you're designed to have anxiety and depression and fear as a normal biological feedback to let you know you're pursuing a fantasy. So get objective, set a real goal, see how things are on the way. And I assure you, if you do by priority and stick by priority, you will transform this situation into something that's productive, that's meaningful, and it will take you to the next level. Stress is the inability to adapt to changing environment. Resiliency is the ability to adapt to a changing environment. And that comes from foresight, planning, mitigating risks, and setting real objectives, not fantasies.
And Dr. DeMartini, if somebody has experienced any failure now in terms of, you know, they've maybe failed at a business or relationship or, you know, something like that, how would you recommend they approach that?
Well, first of all, I don't use the word failure or success. I think those are illusions. There is no failure. The only way you can label yourself having a failure is having a rigid fantasy about this, what you're supposed to look like. You know, and so if, I've women come to me in the breakthrough experience sometimes and they say, I failed three relationships. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, you had a relationship. You had a fantasy about how it was supposed to look, how long it was going to last and how it was supposed to be. And that fantasy is now broken as it's designed to be. So you can get grounded. You had a fantasy and you weren't in love with the individual. You were in love with the friggin' fantasy. And the person left you because you weren't actually connecting to them. You were trying to get them to match the fantasy. And then when they didn't match it and they left, you thought you had a failure. Your fantasy is the source of your assumption of failure. Now, the question is, did you get a feedback? Did you learn something? If you didn't learn anything and you still hold on to the fantasy and you think you're a failure, you didn't learn anything. But if you go back and you look at what happened and you go, okay, the individual stays with me when I provide them more value than their options. People make decisions based on what they believe will give them the greatest advantage or disadvantage. So if they're leaving you, it's because they're perceiving there's a greater advantage and a greater offer somewhere else. And they think their life would be more fulfilled being with somebody else or vice versa. You're doing that. So in the process of doing that, it's not a failure. It's a feedback. It's a feedback to you to know the values, the highest values of the individual that you're in relationship with, and to understand that they are a customer and that you have to meet the customer's needs if you want them to have a long-term arrangement with you. if that's what you want. But if you compare them to a fantasy and punish them and try to change them, they're not going to feel loved and appreciated for who they are. And they're going to go find somebody that will do that. So you didn't fail, you learned. But if you hold on to the fantasy and then blame them and don't get the realization, then you're going to walk around with a fantasy that you thought was would be successful and a failure because it didn't match your fantasy. But if you learn from it and you go, okay, when you dated people and you didn't have this fantasy of marriage, didn't have this fantasy of these things, you just said, okay, I'm going to date the person, see how it works. And you grow from it and you learn. And if it doesn't work out, you don't think, oh, it's a failure. You see, it's part of the journey of learning about relationships. So the same thing in business. You have fantasies about things. The fantasy could be that you think you know what the market needs and the market doesn't need that. And so you don't have a demand. And then you have supply and you're pushing things uphill and then it crashes. And then you think you failed. No, you learned, like Edison, that that pathway was not meeting people's needs. And now you're going to refine it and you're going to come back again. You don't go and say, well, I've been a failure, so I'm going to give up. I'm not going to try it again. It's like a baby walking. The baby walks and they get and he falls down. He goes, oh, I failed. I'm not going to try again. That's crazy. He gets up and he fumbles a few times. Eventually he learns how to walk. And even if he learns how to walk, he'll probably fall occasionally. And those are not failures. They're feedback. The people that live in their executive center in the forebrain, when they live by priority, see things as feedback. They don't see things as failure. Keo, who used to run Coca-Cola Company, who was on the Berkshire Hathaway board for many years, said, I'm leery of the people that use the word success. I don't use the word success. My publisher did one time on one of my books. We fought about it because I think success is a misnomer. Success assumes you've arrived. You've gotten something. You've done something. I'd rather call myself a man on a mission, because the second you think you're successful, you're depurposing and going to lower priority things because you think proudly that you have arrived somewhere. And if you're going into thinking you're failure, you actually repurpose and go back to priority again, high priorities again. Sometimes the actual so-called feedback of not getting the fantasy and clearing up what the fantasy is and getting grounded about what you really want is wiser. And so those so-called downtimes that are challenging, that humble you, is exactly what you need to prioritize and get clear and go out there and make sure you're giving true service to people. So I don't label success and failure. I think those things are misnomers. I think it's an amygdala response, looking for pleasure and avoiding pain. And it's looking for success and avoiding failure. I don't live in that world. I live in the objective world of setting goals that are more grounded, more realistic, that have plans of action that achieve. And each of the feedbacks are just going to guide me towards that achievement. What worked and what didn't. One of the questions you ask yourself every day is, what is it I would absolutely love to create in life? Okay, what is the, how do I get handsomely paid to do it? Because if you're not doing something you love to do and get paid for it, you're gonna be having a Monday morning blues, Wednesday hump days, thank God it's Friday's week friggin' in, and you're gonna be living in a job that you're having to do to make money to then escape it and blow that money on breaks and vacations and retirement, which is foolish. You do something you actually love to do, get handsomely paid to do it. What are the highest priority action steps I can do today to make it happen? What obstacles might I run into and how do I solve them in advance so I'm prepared with foresight, so I'm not hit broadsided because of my fantasy, then I'm assuming there's no negatives, there's no challenges. That's delusional. And then what worked and what didn't work today and how do I do it more effectively and efficiently? And how did, no matter what happened to me, how...
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at the Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
Is it helping me fulfill my mission? I'd rather be a man on a mission and have meaning in life and have purpose in life and be teleologic than I would be going after a one-sided world of the fantasy of success. The second you think you've got success, you've got no place to go but down. But if you've got a mission, you see both of them as feedback mechanisms. You don't get attached to either one. If you get attached to success or failure, it runs your life. If you get attached to a man on a mission or a woman on a mission doing something that's truly meaningful to you, you love what you're doing. You don't think about it. And you don't even focus on you're grateful for your achievements, but you don't get trapped in the labels of them being good or bad or right or wrong or success or failure. Get focused. The fantasy of success without failure is a fantasy. Get grounded. Start going towards objectives. You go farther in life. Otherwise, you think there's some sort of failure in life.
And Dr. DeMartini, what do we do if someone we care about is taking such strain that they are considering a point of suicide? How can we help them in terms of looking at this in a different way?
Well, if somebody's comparing their current reality to a fantasy about how it is, and the fantasy is so dopamine and serotonin and Kefalon generating, then life is going to suck compared to it. And most people that I find that are suicidal or have had attempts at suicide have delusions. Delusions about how life's supposed to be. And I've worked with lots of them. I've seen tons of them they come into breakthrough sometimes, and they have delusions, complete delusions about how life is supposed to be. People are supposed to be nice to me. People are supposed to be kind to me. People are not supposed to be tough on me. Life's supposed to be easier. The world's supposed to take care of me. Government's supposed to do this. Conspiracy's supposed to, they're stopping me, the world. They dissociate and blame things on the outside and have a fantasy about how the things on the outside also are supposed to rescue them. They have delusions. You're not going to be depressed if you're comparing your life to ground what's real. The magnificence of what's actually going on is far greater than the fantasies. Now, if you have such a delusion that there's such a thing like it should be like this and it's not, well, you're going to give up. And of course, that's understandable. But it's about getting grounded on the fantasy. If I ask the individual that's suicidal, okay, what's so terrible? Well, I've lost all my money. Great. Okay. So if you had all your money, what were the downsides of having all your money? Well, there is no downside. They'll say that. I guarantee you they will have a fantasy that there is no downside. Anytime you have something you're striving for that has no downside, it's a delusion and a fantasy. And therefore your real life is going to feel like shit. It's going to feel crappy because you're comparing to a fantasy. Imagine you're dating somebody and, you see this picture of this supermodel that's a super hunk that's a 10, and you're married to a 6. Excuse the expression. A 6 in looks. Now, their whole package is a 9 because they got a lot of other things going on, but their looks aren't the great. But so now you compare it to it. So now you're sitting and go, I'm not fulfilled in this because I want that fantasy. If you compare your spouse to a fantasy, there's no way they can win. And if you can spare your life to a fantasy, there's no way you can win. A fantasy's got upsides, no downsides. That's the problem with success. It's got upsides, no downsides. I don't like that. I stopped doing that when I turned 30. At age 30, I stopped doing the positive thinking crap, stopped looking for the success, searching for a one-sided world, and embraced the two sides that life had to offer. And man, was that a big lift, a big freedom, and not be so, with the resiliency level went way up. And the frustrations and volatilities and bipolar conditions that we all, the cyclothymic volatilities that we live with, calm down. So the individual that's sitting there suicidal, I ask him a really simple question. What are you comparing your life to? Then I find that out. And then I ask him, what's the downside if that was to occur? And they can't see it. So you got to show it to them. Because as long as they don't see the downside to the fantasy that they're comparing their life to, their life will never be anything but a down. Because when they're comparing it to all up, there's nothing here that has anything but all down. If I find out the drawback of their fantasy, the benefit of their reality, and find out how their reality is helping them and how the fantasy has actually got downside, you can claim, stop it. I've had lots of people that have had, I did it in Johannesburg one time. I had a lady in the back of the room at the Breakthrough Experience that was quoted saying she was suicidal. Usually when they tell me, they're usually just getting attention. But the ones that are quiet are the ones more likely to do it. And so in the process of doing that, I went over there and I said, what are you comparing your life to? What are you depressed about? Why you want to take your life away? Because I think that the afterlife, oh, that's great. Now religion has programmed your mind with a fucking dogma and put you in a fantasy that in the afterlife, you're going to get some extra points. It's going to be great. You're going to get some extra virgins. You're going to sit there and pet the lions and lambs. And they've hoodwinkled you into thinking there's a fantasy in the afterlife that that's going to be better than this life. Bullshit. Don't be so gullible. It's not going to be better over there than here, whatever that is. We don't even have a knowledge of what it is. We have theories about it. We have beliefs about it. We have faiths about it. But the thing is, we have what we have right here. And so what we do is we go, so what's the drawback over there in that fantasy world? And why are you believing that? Why are you giving power to some authority that's set that's the way it is? I had a lady that said, I'm a failure because my husband's leaving me. I said, and why? It says, because now I'm going to hell. I'm going, you're going to go to hell? And because he's leaving you? Yeah, because I'm divorcing. I said, well, so you have a fantasy that heaven is going to be all great and you want to make sure that everything got you to this place of heaven and therefore your life is hell? These are delusions that people get trapped in, a dissociative state of mind. Ask yourself, what exactly are you thinking and comparing your current reality to? What are the downsides of that? And quit living in fantasies of injected values from outer authorities that have hoodwinkled you into fantasies and opiums. Opiums of the masses. Get grounded and realize that everything has two sides. You know, you have a new relationship, it's going to be pain and pleasure. It's positive and negative, you're going to get it. If you get out of the relationship, there are going to be new pains and pleasures. Then when you get it, life has both sides no matter what the hell you do. And if you can take whatever's going on and find both sides and balance it out, find meaning. Meaning is finding the mean between the polarities. If you can find meaning in there, you can take anything that happens to your life and use it to the greatest advantage. So an individual that's holding onto a fantasy and their life is by comparison sucked is because of that fantasy. So you've got to find out what's the drawbacks of what you're comparing your life to. And it may be more than one. There's usually an unrealistic expectation on others to be one-sided when they're not, to have other unrealistic expectation on others to be living in your values instead of their own, unrealistic expectations of both of those, unrealistic expectations on you to live one-sided, always positive, nice, kind, unrealistic expectation to live outside your own values, unrealistic expectations on the world supposed to be peaceful and kind and sweet, a one-sided delusion, unrealistic expectation of the world supposed to live in your values, unrealistic expectation mechanical objects supposed to live in your values. There's a lot of delusions that people have. Find out which one it is. It's probably more than one. I find some depressed suicides or have three or five of these, and find out each one of those and find out the drawbacks of the fantasies and calm down the fantasies, get them grounded, and then find the benefits of what's going on. And do not let them run and derail you and say, I can't find it, I don't know, and pretend like that and run their emotional blackmailing, dodging mechanisms so they can get attention. Because these are attention strategies people use in many cases for people to rescue them when they feel that they don't know how to handle their situation. So it's an amygdala response. The amygdala wants a pleasure without a pain. They go into the amygdala. They're not back into priority. They feel like they're not fulfilling their life with something meaningful. And they're down in that situation addicted to fantasies. And sometimes the psychiatrists go in there and give them a drug and give them lithium or whatever to calm down those highs and lows. And that may be a temporary thing for them, but ultimately they got to break their fantasies and get grounded and start putting objectives in their life and get on priority.
And Dr. DeMartini, Warren Buffett said, you know, never think you're able to manage your money if you can't manage your emotions. What is the effect in the seven areas of life if we don't manage our emotions?
Well, let's just start with money since you brought that one up first. When the markets are excited, exuberant, and manic, and people are look like they're in an accelerator, it's called the accelerator state, and things like the markets are just booming and they're doing it, they start thinking, wow, I'm intelligent. I'm going to borrow money at 5% or 4% or 3% or 2%, and I'm going to put it in a market that's giving me 10 or 12 to 15%, and I'm going to be a brilliant person buying overpriced stock. And while it's going up, they don't understand what the actual mean is in the market. And anytime you buy above the mean, you're buying overpriced stock, which will eventually come back to the mean and go below the mean and oscillate. That's a general principle. So the person that's in the exuberant phase and is following conformity of the herd and is going out and getting exuberant when foolish people do, because if you're blind by a manic phase, you're blind to the downsides, which is going on because you're buying overpriced stock. And then when you go and get cocky and think you know what you're doing when you don't, and then you go and borrow money because you want to leverage yourself. And then when the market goes crashing down, then all of a sudden you got to pay the loan and now you've lost the money because you overpaid price. And then you end up doing it and then you freak out and then it goes below the mean and then you sell, then you're down and you're in panic and you sell. Then two fools, the manic and the panic, the exuberant and the depressed, don't know how to manage money because they give it away. When you're down, you get altruistic and give it away. When you're narcissistic, you tend to want to grab and use other people's money to make you money. Both of those mechanisms, overleverage and deleveraging the systems like that, are a classical sign of emotions running it instead of objectivity. The objectivity finds what the mean of the market is. That's what the average is. And every time it goes above the mean, it's time to be stockpiling cash. When it goes below the mean, it's time to buy. And so the people that manage their money wisely with objectivity and don't get into fantasies of success and go exuberant and talk and get, you know, extroverted about their smarts of buying overpriced stock and then go into introversion when all of a sudden they sell it and they lost their money. And then they think the stock market did it to me. I'm amazed how many people that are foolish with money think the stock market did it to them. Stock market didn't do anything. Stock market just goes up and down and gradually grows up in capital gains and dividends. And people that know how to use the money and use the mean make money on it over and over again and keep wisely, patiently building wealth. So the emotions interfere with money making. Warren Buffett says, until you can manage emotions, don't expect to manage money. And it's true. Animals with the amygdala don't make money. It's humans with an objective, reasoning, intuitive system that can make money. So now let's go over to away from money. Let's go back to business. When you exaggerate yourself and puff yourself up and think you're successful, I got so successful, I stopped doing what got me there. And what happens is you tend to depurpose. You tend to go to lower priority things. You start to talk down to your customers. You start not listening to the customer, not meeting customers' needs to get humbled. And that's just a lesson. And you get down. Now you think you're a failure, again, foolish. But then the failure feelings makes you go back to priority, repurpose, go back to what is important to go meet your customers' needs. And when you stick to your customers' needs and find equity and equanimity between you and them and keep objective to what that is and keep resiliently adapting to that, you don't have these wild swings in your emotions. You're able to keep yourself centered. And if you can't manage your emotions, don't expect to manage companies, just like money. And the same thing in your relationship. When your relationship, if you're cocky and you start to look down on your mate, you're going to project your values onto her. She can't live in your values or he can't live in your values. And now you have a fantasy about who they're going to be. And now you're not loving who they are. You're loving the fantasy you're trying to make them. And if you then fall and crash and they decide they're going to leave you or have an affair and you think, oh my God, how can they do that? They betrayed me. No, they didn't. They didn't feel loved. They didn't appreciate, weren't feeling appreciated for their. I've asked people in the breakthrough experience 1,000 times, 10,000 times, how many people want to be loved and appreciated for who they are. Every hand goes up. So if you're basically talking down to them, you're not loving for who they are. You're projecting onto them. Then if you get down and you get humble and you're afraid they're going to leave you, then you end up sacrificing you and then you end up presenting that. So any of those polarizations undermine the relationship. But if you're sitting there and you have a match, you have respect for each other, you keep each other in check and you have equity. Because every person in the relationship is keeping an inventory of any time that's been out of fair exchange and they know it. They either feel down because they feel that they got more than they deserve, or they feel up and they feel you got more than you deserve, and they're trying to find an equanimity. It's called equity theory. Now, in social leadership, you're going to have poles. Society's got a full spectrum of value systems. They're going to be supporters and challengers. The real leaders know both are there and keep down the center. The pollsters that go and find out what the majority of people are wanting, and they go and give them and just turn into whatever it is that the people want. They're basically followers of the mass polls, and then they go and fit there, and then it's basically hypocrisy that they live with, and they don't know how to manage the thing. So they're not really a leader. They're a follower of the polls. And most of our politicians are that way. And poly means many, and ticks means blood sugar. Politics means many blood suckers. I'm joking. It's a bad joke. So, but in the process of doing that, they're actually run from the emotions of the herd, and they're going based on what they think will market it. And that's okay. It's how they get to be in their election, but it's not how you lead. You lead by a clear objective and you know you're going to be supported and challenged equally, and you manage paradoxes and you stay focused on the mission and you let the paradoxes work themselves out because they're going to oscillate back and forth. If you look at all the presidents of the United States, for instance, you'll see that there's been Republican and Democrat, Republican and Democrat, Republican, Republican, then Democrat, Democrat. It's always going back and forth and everybody thinks this side is going to save the day and then this side's going to save the day. No, the synthesis of the two is what maintains the stability of a government. But people just go back and forth thinking their dopamine is going to get them a better deal. They're looking for a happy, because whatever's happening when they think, when I get here, I'll be happy. When they get there, they find out the downsides and think, oh, well, when it's over there, I'll get happy again. And they're, so they're just twisting with the poles, and the poles are going from one extreme to the other. And so the people out there have to be liars. You have to hire liars to tell you that one thing to meet the pole. And then when the poles shift, they got to meet those poles again. And so, yes, you're meeting the masses, but at the same time, you're not really leading. When it comes to physiology, if you're manic, your parasympathetic nervous system comes online. And what happens now, you're infatuated with things, and now you fear the loss of it. And if you're resentful to things and you got the sympathetic parasympathetic system on, now you fear the gain of things. So the more polarized you are in your emotions, the more fears and fantasies and more instabilities, and the more your body creates symptoms to let you know it. And the higher the volatility in your physiology, the shorter your lifespan. So in your physiology, all the feedback that's going on, the so-called success of feeling good and the so-called failure of feeling bad, the feeling bad could be actually part of your healing process. And the feeling good could be actually covering up the healing process. So beware of the illusions of feeling good and taking a pill to get you to feel good, because that's actually undermining and causing some of the diseases. And that's wiser to let your physiology give you feedback and use it wisely to guide your behavior. When it comes to spirituality, spirituality is not ecstasy. It's not euphoria. It's not utopia. It's not an afterlife that's going to be all bliss. It's a grounded reality and a seeing how to take whatever's happening in your life and having resiliently appreciate it, how you can be grateful for your life. And many times people are sucked into a dogma of something that it's going to be better. I'm going to get, if I do enough meditation, I'm going to get to bliss and finally have no individual ego or something like that. That's a delusion. You're going to end up having your real reality in your physical body sitting there waiting there, getting back grounded to go and fill in the other areas of your life. Ground yourself and do something that's really meaningful to your life and fill your day with priorities that are inspiring to you, and you'll have the most inspiration, you'll make the most contribution, you'll have the most fulfillment in the seven areas of your life. And when you do, you won't be hoodwinkled by fantasies because of the unfulfillment. When we're unfulfilled and we're not filling our day with high priority actions, we're vulnerable to quick get rich schemes in business, in finance, quick business opportunities, quick relationship impulses. And we keep going for quick fixes. And we're vulnerable to the quick fix religion that's going to give you happiness in the afterlife. Or if you follow this, you're going to be finally happy or whatever. It's bullshit. You're going to have a new set of constraints. There's no liberty without constraint. And when it comes to mental, anytime you infatuate with something or resent with something, it occupies space and time in your mind. It creates neuroassociative complexes in the brain that are looking for their opposites, the anti-memories they call them, and is trying to find an equilibrium in molecular, synaptic, and in electronic energy in the body. Is trying to bring homeostasis. So if we're all distorted with our perceptions, we won't have that. We literally won't be able to stabilize ourselves and get ourselves centered in the objective. But if we fill our day with high priority actions and aspire and live by our executive center, we bring ourselves more objectivity, which objectivity means even in neutral, and it takes us, and we're not biased and polarized with opinions that throw us off, skewed opinions. Every weekend in the Breakthrough Experience, people come in there with skewed opinions. Every week I show them a science on how to dissolve those so they're gonna be run from the extrinsic world and they can be finally guided from within. I said on The Secret, when the voice and the vision on the inside is greater than all opinions on the outside, then you begin to master your life. But you won't get that living by low priorities. You'll only get that by accessing the highest priorities and stick to priority every day.
That was another really valuable session with Dr. DeMartini. If you'd love to find out more about balancing your emotions and empowering your life, then log on to our website, www.drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd love to meet you, get to know you, and understand what you'd love to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add another episode. We'd also love to invite you to join us on the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. You'll also find this link in the show notes. It's a community of like-minded people from all over the world with a common value on empowering their lives, and you'll have access to Dr. DeMartini and many of his education pieces that will keep you inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you stay focused on your vision and to keep on expanding your life throughout the challenges you may face as we live through the current global pandemic. So come join us as soon as you can on demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. Demartini shortly. Until next time, keep doing what you love and stay inspired.